I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
And we're back. It's the Functional Nerds Podcast. I am Patrick Hester. I'm your host today because John Anilio is having some technical difficulties, or potentially we are with Zencastr. We're just not sure yet. My guest today is Ian. Ian, why don't you tell people who you are and what you do?
My name's Ian Brazy Cannon. I am a writer. I'm also a filmmaker and a podcaster on a separate podcast called the Amateur Skeptics Podcast.
And why don't you tell people about that podcast for a second?
Well, obviously we focus on skeptics. Come this January, we will have been doing it for 10 years now. It all started with a group of friends that I was doing role-playing games with. We were really good and got together every week. And the problem is half the time we just talk about bullshit. And one of the things that came up was the whole high fructose corn syrup debate. And we're like, oh, we need to do some research. And next thing you know, my friend Brian's like, we should just do a podcast where we do that. And so the initial idea was we just kind of, you know, we're sitting, the podcast would be us sitting, bullshitting, and talking about that stuff and looking into it and saying, okay, what have we discovered? And it developed from there into, like I said, we've been doing it for 10 years now. It's been fun. Don't know how big of a following we have, but. We did, I think it was last year, get invited to a New Zealand amateur, or not amateur, New Zealand skeptic conference.
Nice.
Like, oh, cool. None of us could afford to go, but hey.
That's still awesome, though. 10 years is pretty good. A lot of podcasts fade after time. And yeah. just listening to the premise, it sounds very nerdy, which is what we like here.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've worked a lot of nerdy stuff, and we've had an episode on... you know, the science in sci-fi, looking at all the weird science stuff that's out there and saying what makes sense. And I forgot all the other stuff, but there's a lot of nerdy stuff in there, definitely.
And if our listeners want to check it out, what's the website?
Amateurskeptics.com. Kept it simple.
Very cool. And then on the writerly side, you have a new book out. It's A Day at Georgie and Armand's Place.
Right. So... the basic premise, a simplified one, is Georgie Armand's Place is an interdimensional hotel run by two gay dragons. Now, the concept itself, I just mentioned Brian and the Amateur Skeptics. He's the one that came up with it 15, 20 years ago, whenever, during our role-playing stuff. And we visited there a few times. And I always thought, you know, something like that, there's so many stories you could tell, so much that could happen. Such an awesome idea. And with Brian's blessing, I took his idea and I drastically expanded on it. And what I came up with, I kind of call it a hybrid, because I wanted to explore all the possible characters. You know, I look at it and say, okay, the people from countless dimensions are coming through here. And I wanted to give them each kind of their own spotlight. So the first half of it is kind of almost an anthology. Each character, I always kind of looked at more like Star Wars Tales from Mos Eisley Cantina style thing.
Oh, sure.
Where you have a whole bunch of characters doing their stuff around kind of a central event. So you have each character having their own story and stuff happening that's kind of like, hey, this is kind of odd, but you learn later on it's all connected. And so, you know, each character gets their interaction, get their moment in the spotlight. You get to see who they are. You get to kind of play with them. And then at the second half, it all comes together and becomes almost more of a standard novel where we see where all the characters are and where they're interconnecting and everything. And the story then plays out more of a standard novel at that point.
I know you mentioned the Mos Eisley tales, but I think it's possible that either Babylon 5, Deep Space Nine, or Star Trek The Next Generation did something like that first, where they did like Below Decks.
I know they've had episodes, yeah.
I feel like Deep Space Nine, they did the Morn episode. Where Morn, right. the guy at the bar who never talks, but who everybody complains about how much he talks and he talks your ear off, like he disappeared and people were looking for him. And it was like this,
right.
interconnected kind of thing. So that's a cool concept. I always like that concept because it gives us a completely different perspective.
Yeah, well, that's the whole idea. Initially, I really was kind of like, okay, I want every story to have a different feel to it, but sure. I'm not that good of a writer. But my favorite one, though, is the one that definitely is a different feel. This character called Fringe, who's really an out there religious zealot character that when I got to writing his story is the only one from the first person point of view. The whole world perceived from his mind. And so out of all of them, his is the most unique because I couldn't write it in third person because the way he views the world is so crazy, so powerful. And it's like, no, I have to do it. Everything is his complete point of view, so you really see how he views everything. And it's interesting because he has some of the more direct crossovers, so you can really see his perspectives versus the third-person perspective at times.
Very cool. And the book is available. You said we were talking before we started recording. Well, actually, one of the six previous times that we tried recording, that this is available as a print or an ebook. You can get it at Amazon.com or BarnesNoble.com. Again, the name is A Day at Georgie and Armand's Place.
Yep. And hopefully it's the first of many. I'm working on the second one. And in doing that, I'm having concepts for the third one popping. So.
Very cool. Well, Ian and I know each other very well. We are both part of the local writer community in Colorado. We have lots of things we want to talk about. Before we get into that, I do want to mention that we love our patrons. We have Functional Nerds Patreon account. If you go to patreon.com/functionalnerds and you like what we do here, consider going there and becoming a backer of the show. Give us a couple bucks. We love doing this show, and that helps us, you know, just stay motivated because we want to continue producing content for our listeners. On top of that, if you become a patron at any level, we will add you to our Facebook secret group for patrons only. And there's lots of conversations going on over there, lots of links, lots of nerdy things that we're talking about. As an example, John just posted that Wedge Antilles, the rumor is that he's going to be back in the new Star Wars movie. Which is really cool. I just posted the monologue from Freddie Prinze Jr. about Star Wars, which was really cool, where he's talking about, you know, I learned this shit from Dave Filoni, who learned this from George Lucas, so on and so forth. It was a great, great little thing that he did on a podcast. Stuff like that, exclusive content, that's where you go. And to become part of that, you just have to become a patron, patreon.com/functionalnerds. And now, let's get on to our picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
And Ian, what's your pick this week?
Okay, so I chose Doctor Who Mission to the Unknown Recreation. So for those of you who aren't overly familiar with the old Doctor Who.
Classic. Come on, don't
classic.
Call it old.
Okay, classic. Well, classic Doctor Who. You have a lot of episodes of the first and second Doctor that are missing due to a BBC purge. One of the most famous is the Dalek's Master Plan of the first Doctor. It was a huge 12-episode story arc that was just apparently really massive. And in order to introduce that, they did a one-shot episode called Mission to the Unknown, which is, I think, the only episode ever to not have the Doctor, the TARDIS, or a companion in it.
Oh, wow.
The only thing in it that links it Doctor Who is the Daleks. But it is one of the missing episodes. Well, so recently, some students at the University of Central Lancaster decided to recreate it. And they got a hold of one of the actors who was a companion at the time, another actor who actually was in this. And so they got some people involved for Doctor Who at the time and had them help in the recreation of it. So what they did, because you still have the audios and some of the still pictures and stuff. So they were able to go and the sets and everything feel like they're from that era, from over 50 years ago. The camera angles, the way they moved the camera and stuff, you definitely had someone study it because you could say, wow, that's exactly what you see in those old episodes. The audio quality. You want to talk about really going at it. The audio quality was as, bad, for lack of a better word, as it was back then. You know, in the old episodes, if you watch, when they move from one set to another, you can very much tell the difference. And yes, in this, you can very much tell the difference. You know, they made sure that the costumes, everything, they made sure they reproduced them so they're just as corny and, you know, deeply done. Everything. It's like, wow, this really felt like it could be the actual one. And you could air it and no one would think it wasn't from 50 years ago.
That's cool. And they did it live action, not like animated like they have in the past?
Right. No, this is live action, fully recreated live action sets and everything. You have really old beat up looking Daleks in there. Costumes that were clearly just whatever the prop department could throw together in 5 minutes. But, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it was very well done. They even did the old credits and stuff. and it just premiered this last week on the BBC YouTube channel, the official Doctor Who YouTube channel. So this is now more or less the, you know, this isn't just a fan project. This is something BBC's saying, yeah, we're going to, you know, give our stamp of approval to.
That is pretty awesome. For the benefit of our listeners, Ian and I were talking about it. We think that we met at Mile High Con when we were doing a Doctor Who roundtable fan talk.
Right. And I believe you recorded that for podcast purposes.
I may have. It's probably over on SF Signal somewhere on the podcast over there, which is you can still find it if it's out there. But so we're both Doctor Who fans. I know your kids are Doctor Who fans. I've seen them dress up as various versions of the Doctor. This is really cool.
Our most famous costume is our Dalek.
Yes. But what I was thinking of, and I'm actually blanking on it now. But we were talking about Doctor Who. Oh, come on, brain, where did it go? Come on, brain. Oh, damn it! I think I lost my train of thought when you mentioned the Dalek.
But no, that was an interesting costume because my son just said he wanted a Dalek costume. I was like, okay, we'll get it ready for Mile High Con. Took us about, I think it was two and a half weeks to actually put it together, and it's been our most popular costume we've ever done. If we drag it, although the problem is both boys are now too big for it because it was like built 8 years ago when he was 11, and you know he's about to turn 20, and yeah, I'm feeling old, but
yeah.
But both boys have used it and have outgrown it now, so we haven't pulled it out in a while. But whenever we took it to convention, it got a lot of attention. One of the coolest was we took it to Starfest, and Timothy Zahn was there. And Timothy Zahn saw us walk by and pulled out a sonic screwdriver, and like, uh-oh, it's a Dalek.
That's cool. The thing I was thinking about is you talked about the Purge. I just found an article where it was about the lady at the BBC who kind of figured out what the BBC had been doing and started the archiving project to try to save some of this stuff. Hmm. But essentially what the BBC used to do is they would record something and they didn't really do repeats. They didn't do replays. And so the cost of the media was so expensive for them, and they didn't really have budgets, so they didn't have storage facilities. They would either throw it out and burn it and just destroy it, or they would tape over it.
Right.
And how a lot of the Doctor Who got lost was through that, because, and even when she started the archiving project, and I've got this whole article, I put it up on the patrons thing on Facebook. But when she even started the archiving project and started showing people, they also thought that there was no value in the content.
Right.
They didn't think that anybody would ever care for it again.
No. How many years before home video was this?
Yeah, this is the early 70s when she's trying to start archiving these things. And she's going around to people at the BBC and she's like, we need to save this because this is valuable and this is history. And people are going, but why? No one would ever want to watch this again. We've already aired it. And even after the BBC said, yes, we're going to start archiving these things, yes, we're going to start saving these things, individuals within the BBC were still purging things or recording over things because they just didn't see a value to it, to keeping it.
Yeah. Well, we know the only reason the Monty Python's Flying Circus out there is Terry Gilliam went in and said, no, I'm not letting you guys do that.
And well, not only that, America saved Monty Python. There's a whole section about how the reason some of these things still exist is because the BBC was sending them to America and other countries to air on their channels. So Monty Python became very popular on PBS here in America. And so those episodes were being sent here, and here we had master copies.
Right.
Well, it's the same thing with a lot of the episodes of Doctor Who. Those were sent out to other stations in other countries to be aired. And those are the tapes that still exist. And those are the kind of the project to bring some of those things back into the BBC.
Yeah, no, every so often they just, I know they had some in like Ethiopia recently or something like that.
Yep.
Anywhere where there was a UK base, because they'd send them out, you know, this was before you could really just digitalize them. So you had to send the physical copies all over the world.
Yep. And those are what survive. Sometimes, like you said, it's only the audio.
Yeah.
So that, the audio, seems fairly common. I guess that maybe they were doing it on BBC Radio. I'm not sure.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's all awesome. Again, you and I, we love Doctor Who. I know a lot of our listeners love Doctor Who as well. So that's pretty cool. My pick this week is a mobile game. It's basically Dungeons & Dragons Lite is what I'm calling it. But it's the Warriors of Waterdeep. Have you seen this?
No, I haven't.
It's a decent game. It's so difficult, I think, in mobile games for them to do role playing. So it's not really role playing, but it's a dungeon crawl. It's a dungeon crawl, and you have heroes that you can pick from. You start off with a wizard and a cleric. And then as you advance up, you can get up to four people in an active group, but you can have more than that in your entire roster.
Okay.
And basically you, as you're leveling up and you're going through the dungeon and you're doing stuff, it says, okay, now you get to add another hero. You have to pick, and they want you to kind of balance the teams out. They have four different groups, basically categories for each of the different kind of characters, but you can get a ranger, you can get a bard, you can get a fighter, you can get a warlock, a barbarian, on and on and on. They have all the different classes, and you can add them as you go to your group. You can do dungeon crawls, or you can kind of do PvP against other players for rewards, and you level up your characters. So that's my pick this week. It's a nice little distraction kind of game. Now, I mentioned before that Ian and I met at a Mile High Con doing a Doctor Who fan table kind of thing. We've seen each other there every year since.
Yep.
You've been huge in the local community and fandom. You, in fact, were part of DASFA for many years.
Right. I don't know if I'd say huge, but yeah, I was the director of DASFA for 3 years.
And a lot explain of fun DASFA. Doing that. Explain DASFA real quick.
Okay, so DASFA is the Denver Area Science Fiction Association. It is, it's been around for over 50 years now. It started Mile High Con way back when. The main focus is the literary aspects of science fiction, but, you know, they're interested in science. While I was running it, I had a game designer. I had people who were doing the audio stories. I had a couple artists, but it's a fan group, and it's an old, long-running fan group, one of the oldest around. And you have some people that have been there for forever. I found it a fun group. And like I said, they have strong ties with Mile High Con because they did start up Mile High Con way back when, and then at one point, due to Mile High Con saying, well, we need to file this way for tax purposes, and DASFA saying, well, that wouldn't fit with what we're trying to do, they end up splitting apart at that time.
Sure, yeah.
But still, there's a lot of overlap. The main one is Rose Beatum, who for the longest time was the program director for Mile High Con. She's on and off for probably over 10 years has been the director of DASFA.
Oh, really? I didn't know she was running DASFA now.
She's not now, but she did.
Oh, okay.
She did take over after I left. She was the director before I came in, and I know she has run it in the past. So, honestly, she's probably done a good decade or more as the director of DASFA.
Sure. And that's just a group where they meet and they talk about science fiction and books, and they have speakers come out. At one point you invited me to come out and be a speaker.
Right.
So that's a pretty awesome group. And like you said, there's a lot of overlap with Mile High Con. So Mile High Con is this Friday as we're recording this. I'm going to be there. You're going to be there.
Definitely.
Anything you want to talk about as far as what you're going to be doing at Mile High Con?
What are my panels? I'm not completely sure what my panels are. I've been more focused on...
You're going to have the book there.
Yes, I definitely have... if everything goes right, it better be. I will be getting physical copies of George Raymond, a day at George Raymond's place here within a couple days.
Okay.
So I will have them for the convention. But the main focus, my girlfriend is actually running the literary auction. And she's really gone out of her way finding donations, and we got some cool stuff. One of the local authors who died recently, who was well known outside of the local community, is Ed Bryant. And when he passed, he was a bit of a pack rat, maybe even borderline hoarder, but I know the friends of Ed Bryant spent days cleaning out the house and still didn't get everything. Well, apparently someone went to Mile High Comics who with a box of stuff and was trying to sell it. And Chuck was looking at it and it's like, where'd you get this? Like, oh, well, I'm in charge of cleaning out Ed Bryant's house. And Chuck was friends with Ed Bryant. So he got with the guy and said, hey, I want to go there and I want to have a chance to clean some of this stuff out. So Chuck from Mile High Comics did apparently according to him, like 3 or 4 carloads of stuff that he has. And so when we contacted him, he's like, well, you know what? I don't want to make money off of Ed Bryant stuff. He's a good friend of mine. I'd rather see it go to something meaningful to him. And the literary auction is known as the Ed Bryant Literary Auction in honor of Ed Bryant. So it's kind of fitting that this year there will be items that were Ed Bryant's collections that will be auctioned off.
And what are the proceeds go for with the literary? This is literacy, right? Children's literacy?
Yeah, it's a literacy... organization. I am not completely sure.
That's fine. But the point is it's not going to Mile High Con. It's going to literacy.
Yes.
And I forget the exact name. And now Linda is just going to be super pissed at us because we don't know the name, but, it's a literary auction for literacy. So
yes. Every year it's a different organization. I don't know who Lorelei got with this year, but it's, to promote literacy and, do some good.
That's awesome. And I know that's something that Ed would absolutely love and be so excited about that he's able to help with that. So that's huge. That's huge. I like that auction. I've done stuff with that auction in the past. I've donated books that the publishers have sent me. And I've even bought some stuff. Like I bought when Gene Stein was the Toastmaster. I think 1 year she had a whole basket of her books that were all signed, and I bought that at the auction. So, that's a great thing.
They have some pretty fun stuff normally, and so this year there's definitely going to be a lot more. Lorelei has gone all out and found some cool stuff. She was quite excited. She contacted Tattered Cover, and they never replied. But then in the mail yesterday, we got a $20 gift card for Tattered Cover saying, put in the auction. Okay,
that's
cool.
Awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. So listeners of the show will feel like this is being rushed, but to be honest with you, Ian and I have had so many technical difficulties today that we're just trying to push to get some content recorded before we have to go. Ian, why don't you tell people your website, your social media, where they can find you online?
Okay. Well, I kept it all as simple as possible. If you're interested in George Raymond's place, on Facebook, go there and just put a George Raymond's place. You can find our page. The actual, whatchamacallit? I think it's just Facebook's GNP place.
Okay. Yeah, just go to Facebook and search for it. You'll find it.
Yeah. Basically facebook.com/GNP place. Nice and easy. Okay. I have an author's page there as well, which is IBC author. So facebook.com/IBC author. Those are my Facebook things that you can find. Obviously I do amateurskeptics.com is where my other podcast is. I'm easy to find. You put in Brazy Cannon. The majority of the stuff will be me. Right now, there are only three people with that last name in the whole world, as far as I know. So I'm not hard to hunt down.
Challenge accepted. And like I said, we'll both be at Mile High Con, which is awesome. Is there anything else you want to tell our listeners before I let you go?
Support me. I love it. Yeah, this is my first real try. I've self-published a few things before this, but they've all been simple things. This is one I've already invested in. And I think if I can get the word out and get some people to check it out, I think they'll enjoy it and word will spread. So, you know, I'm really hoping to get somewhere with it all. There's almost definitely going to be a second book no matter what, but the success of the first book depends on, shows me how much I can invest in the second one.
Sure. Well, congratulations. That's awesome. I'm so proud of you for, and happy for you for getting the book out the door.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. All right. That's it for us this week. You've been listening to the Functional Nerds podcast. If you enjoy what we do, please go out to patreon.com/functionalnerds. Give us a couple bucks, back us there. That also gets you exclusive access to our Functional Nerds Patreon group on Facebook, where we talk about nerdy things, podcasty stuff, cord cutters, TV shows, movies, books, you name it. We share all kinds of links out there, not just us, but our patrons. And also, I didn't do it this week simply because of the technical difficulty we were having. But if you're a patron and we're about to record a show, you could potentially get a pick on our show as well. We put it out there on the Facebook group, and you can just comment on that post and tell us your picks, and we'll pick one and read it out on the show with your name. So that's a nice little extra perk for being a patron. Again, thanks for listening. Thanks to Ian for coming out. Hope to see as many of you as possible at Mile High Con, which is also happens to be starting on my birthday, which is the 18th. So come out, say hello, hang out with us. Writer's Night, 9 p.m. You don't have to be a writer. You don't have to be a convention person to show up at the bar and just hang out and have a good time. So hopefully we'll see you there. And until then, we will see you next week with another great episode. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Thanks, Mo.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves, and I hope we pass the audition.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Would you like a chili, baby?
I'm the one in the middle.